On October 21st, 2013, just 2 weeks after this podcast was originally recorded, our editor-in-chief, Dr. William C. Stanley, died of a sudden heart attack. We are all deeply saddened by this tremendous loss. It was Bill who had launched the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series, and he was very proud of this innovation in the journal. And so, in honor of Bill's creative and innovative editorship, we present the last podcast he recorded. Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Kleinbongard et al. Titled, Human Aspirate Native Coronary Arteries versus Vein Grafts. This article published online August 9th, 2013. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief William Stanley, first author Petra Kleinbongard, and leading expert William Chilian. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. Stent implantation into atherosclerotic coronary arteries releases particulate debris and soluble substances that can trigger downstream microvascular vasoconstriction. This study today that we're going to discuss assessed the potential for microvascular obstruction in patients with stable angina pectoris and a flow-limiting stenosis in their right coronary artery. They compared two groups of patients undergoing stent placement, those with native coronary arteries and a second group of patients who previously had undergone revascularization with a saphenous vein graft. The plaque volume and composition were similar in the two groups as assessed by intravascular ultrasound. During the stent implantation, it collected the coronary aspirate using a distal occlusion aspiration device. There was less debris in the patients with native coronary arteries, but these patients had greater release of endothelin and a greater vasoconstrictor effect than did the patients with a prior saphenous vein graft. Petra, congratulations on this important work. What do you see as the key findings of your study and a take-home message for our listeners?
Hi, Kara. Thank you. And thank you, Bill. And I think the take-home message is that the atherosclerotic process of the saphenous vein grafts and the native arteries is different. And we cannot say that the atherosclerosis is the same and the release factors which are released during stent implantation are different if you compare the native coronary arteries and the saphenous vein graft. So we have more endothelin which is released in the native vessels, and but you have more particular debris in the vein grafts. So I will say it is different, and you have not the lesion, which seems to be the same concerning the plaque volume and the structure and so on. It is not the same if you look into details.
Yeah, I think you show that very nicely. And you use this really interesting bioassay for vasoconstrictor effect. Can you elaborate on that? I thought it was pretty interesting. You use this rat vasoconstrictor in vitro model.
We are looking for a relatively easy model to determine vasoconstriction or vasodilation. And you can prepare very nicely the arteries of the red mesentericum, because it is very easy to dissect the arteries, and you can dissect it into small vessel rings, let me say. And the vessel rings are put into a myograph system. So the vessels are in a buffer system, and you measure the pressure which is induced by vasoconstriction, or the force which is induced by vasoconstriction, and the decrease in force by vasodilation. And we put the aspirate to the buffer, and we can see a huge vasoconstriction if we add the aspirate plasma from native and from the saphenous vein graft vessels. But we see a higher vasoconstriction if we use the aspirate from the native coronary aspirate. And we think that the difference which we detect between the native vessels and the bypass grafts is about the endothelin. Because if we add blocker substances specific to the endothelin receptor A or an unspecific endothelin receptor blocker, we can reduce the vasoconstrictor signal, which is induced by the native aspirate.
Bill, what did you see as the main strength to the paper?
My reaction to the paper is, you know, first of all, I compliment anybody trying to do this type of work, because to do really sort of basic physiology in a clinical setting, but then to look at the pathophysiological consequences of stenting, I think is really interesting. And what I found intriguing about the paper is the results. I would have predicted just the opposite. So there, you know, I would have thought, you know, you stent a vein bypass, you would have had something probably more serious in terms of release of vasoconstrictors than a normal artery. Now, not sure why I would have said that, but maybe I would have thought maybe it's related to injury. But, you know, their results suggested that more endothelin is released when you stent a normal coronary artery versus stenting a vein bypass graft. But the vein bypass graft did release more particulate matter, so but less vasoconstrictors. I found that very intriguing.
Bill, from a methodological standpoint, what do you see as the strengths of the paper?
I like the beauty of simplicity. And the beauty of simplicity in this paper is a very simple but elegant bioassay. And I say that because collecting plasma downstream from where a stent is put in, I think is a real tour de force methodologically. Then taking that material that you collect downstream from the stent, be it plasma or be it particulate matter, and you count the number of particles, and then alternatively you test the vasoactivity of the plasma as in a bioassay, I think is very straightforward. Now, some might say, well, gosh, that sounds like Otto Louis' experiments with the release of Vegas stuff and Acceleron from the frog heart in the early 1900s. But, you know, Otto Louis in textbooks, right? So it's very simple but elegant and conceptually very sound. And that's what I really liked about the paper.
Petra, what do you see as the next steps here? What are your future directions?
We see for bypass grafts that the release of soluble and particular substances is different if we look for the underlying disease. So we see differences if we look for release of inflammatory substances like TNF-alpha in diabetics or non-diabetics. It is much more release of the inflammatory cytokine TNF-alpha in diabetics. So I think it is possible that the underlying disease or the process of the underlying disease, which is also differ the atherosclerotic process, perhaps it depends also on the difference between native or saphene vein graft stenosis. So and the release of particular debris and soluble substances. So in my opinion, the next step will be to look for the different underlying diseases and look for differences in, especially in native coronary arteries. Perhaps there will be more very interesting differences which could be relevant for the clinical implication, perhaps of vasodilating substances.
Anything else you want to add, Bill?
I think one of the real strengths of this is it's basic physiology in a clinical setting that really is trying to decipher a potentially important clinical question. And in a sense, to me, it's almost not the bench to bedside, it's the bedside to bench. It's sort of the reverse direction, which I find more and more people doing these days, finding a clinical problem, then dissecting it and drilling it down to a very basic approach so they can elucidate a mechanism. And that's what I really like about this paper.
Well, thank you, Petra and Bill, for this interesting discussion on this very important translational paper. Kara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.